We're going to move right into the UBCM clinic this morning. The topic is on our funding programs that are available. I'm going to quickly introduce Glenn Brown. Glenn, I think, is a familiar face to some of you. He's our general manager of Victoria Operations with UBCM. Glenn did work for a different level of government, province of BC or something like that, with their funding programs and ran their funding programs involving local governments for many years. So we're glad to have Glenn on board, and I'll turn the clinic over to Glenn.
All right, thanks, Gary. Good morning, everybody. So I'm going to go over some funding programs that UBCM is involved with administration. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Building Canada Fund as well. Just before I start, just want to get a sense of who we are in the audience. So returning elected officials, hands up. All right, newly elected, any staff, CAOs in the room? No? Oh, we got one right there. All right. Okay, presentation overview. So I'm going to spend most of the time talking about the gas tax fund, some of the changes in the agreement and the programs that are delivered under it. Then talk about UBCM Local Government Program Services. This is a small section of UBCM that deals with some funding programs, generally smaller funding programs, in partnership with the province and the federal government. And then talk a little bit about the Building Canada Fund as well. So I'll start off with the gas tax fund. Just so you know, the presentations are available online, so this presentation, so the information on it is available to you on the LGLA website. And I guess even before I get started, one of the takeaways for you is that there's a lot of information here. UBCM and the staff that are involved in these programs, they are a resource for you and your staff. So at any time, whether you're directing your staff to contact us or you're contacting us directly, you know, we're there to help answer your questions and help get you through the process and understand how these grant programs work. So the gas tax fund, to start. So it was renewed in 2014. So the new agreement took in effect April 1st. The actual signing of this agreement, I believe, happened on May 22nd. The term of the renewed agreement is 10 years, so it's 2014 to 2024. The renewed program is $1.3 billion over the first 5 years of the agreement. The way the agreement works, and there's been some, a few issues at the federal level, and they're sort of high-level accounting issues, but they've really only talked about the first 5 years. Primarily that's due because this is a per capita program, and it's based on the census data. So right now we're working under the 2011 census, and of course in 2016 there'll be a new census, so the second part of this program will be based, and the funding allocations will be based on the 2016 census. UBCM maintains the role as administrator of this agreement. Very unique within the country. Only in BC and Ontario do you have non-provincial government running this program. So the Association of Ontario Municipalities in Ontario and UBCM here, otherwise you've got the provincial government. I, as someone who has spent the last 15 years dealing with the funding programs, dealing at the provincial and federal level for funding programs that provide funding to local governments, you should be very happy that this program is being administered by UBCM. UBCM, and my observation as a provincial staff member for 15 years observing this program, it's run well, it's run efficiently, it's run very transparently. And so, what you see is actually what you get, and you should be very happy, and be fighting if there is an issue to continue UBCM running this program. Local government requested modifications, and they've been largely embedded into the new agreement. During negotiations with the federal and provincial government, UBCM, and this is prior to my time with UBCM, but UBCM went out to the membership through surveys and sort of asked what are the issues, you know, what's working well, what's not working well within the program. And I think the feedback from that focused really on three main areas. One was to ensure that this gas tax program was a dedicated and long-term program. That was achieved. Right now is actually legislated. The program is legislated, so there's a piece of legislation that identifies gas tax will continue in perpetuity. The second piece that most local governments had some concern of was the narrow scope of eligible project categories. I'll speak a little bit about that in the next few slides. And the third thing was perhaps the complexity of the agreement. So, you know, streamline the program delivery. And once again, you know, this program, I've been involved in a lot of programs, particularly at the federal level, and this program is run very efficiently. I mean, there's less bureaucracy in this program than in many other programs that I've been involved with. So what has changed? I'm going to talk about some of the things that are probably important to you, and if not important to you, are important to us and perhaps important to your staff with respect to the changes in the gas tax agreement. So I talked a little bit about the five-year funding. So it's $1.3 billion over the first 5 years. They're estimating it's about $2.76 billion over the 10 years of the program. Like I said, that will be adjusted in 2016 with the new census. This identifies the funding envelopes going to BC over the first 5 years. What you'll see in year three and year five is a little bit of a bump. And so that is because embedded into the framework agreement is indexing. So indexing at 2% per year is embedded into the agreement. The other part of that is what it says in the agreement that it'll be infused back into the program in $100 million increments nationally. So once that indexing hits $100 million, then it goes into the program and then distributed through the different provinces. So what you see is year three is the first time indexing hits $100 million, and then it hits it in year five. And I think after that, it's every second year as you're moving forward. So as you see, there's a little bit of a bump in year three and year five. So eligible project categories, a significant change under the new agreement. For those of you that are somewhat familiar with the gas tax program, these are the categories that were eligible under the previous agreement, focused on environment. So the outcomes, and I'll talk a little bit about national objectives and outcomes, but the outcomes under the previous agreement were cleaner air, cleaner water, and reduced greenhouse gas emissions, all focused really on sort of on green infrastructure. I would refer to this as really the core infrastructure that local governments provide. Under the new agreement, we've expanded to actually have, there's 18 eligible project categories. I'll briefly go over them. They may have some interest to you. You know, if there are any questions on whether your project or a potential project in your local government is eligible or not, once again, you know, we're a resource for you. So give us a call, get staff to give us a call, and we can certainly work through it if there is some concerns. But anyway, new eligible categories: local and regional airports. Obviously, for some that may be important. Short sea shipping, not necessarily sure that there's going to be a lot of regional districts out there that are going to be involved in short sea shipping, but you never know. Short line rail, sport infrastructure, tourism infrastructure, and culture infrastructure. These are certainly areas that we've had some interest from local governments to be able to fund, so they are now open and eligible. Brownfield redevelopment. Broadband connectivity, brownfield redevelopment, probably more focused on the urban areas, but broadband connectivity, once again, is an area that, I mean, certainly since this agreement has been signed, we've been taking a lot of calls coming from rural areas that are interested in sort of expanding internet service within their regional district. Finally, a couple more recreation infrastructure. Obviously, another one that's there's a lot of interest. Disaster mitigation, we've heard a lot from a lot of local governments about this. We've tried to go to the federal government to get sort of greater detail on the eligibility requirements. For disaster mitigation, what we've really heard from the feds that they're really drawing a line in the sand with respect to mitigation versus response. So response infrastructure, so any infrastructure that's responding to a disaster will not be eligible. That's rolling stock, so that's fire trucks, fire halls, that sort of thing. So that's it for the sort of capital eligible project categories. Capacity building is sort of non-capital, so that's really planning, feasibility studies, etc. It was eligible under the old program. Under the new program, it's been divided into sort of three areas. Asset management, I'm going to talk a little bit more about asset management, but asset management is captured within this new agreement as a priority for all signatories, so both the federal, provincial, and UBCM. So identified asset management is important and going to be part of this agreement. So really, with capacity building, we're looking at asset management planning, long-term infrastructure planning, so that's your standard liquid waste management planning, master water plans, so planning dealing with infrastructure and service delivery, integrated community sustainability planning. That was what was really captured under the old agreement, but that continues to be eligible, looking at sort of land use planning, regional growth strategies, OCPs, and that sort of thing. So streamlined program delivery, some significant changes in this new agreement. Gone or thrown out is the tiering system. So tier one, tier two, tier three local governments, they're no more. We've sort of changed and looked at three main program areas. So there's sort of three main areas where money will be flowing: Community Works Fund, Strategic Priorities Fund, and the Greater Vancouver Regional Fund. So looking at how the funding is distributed between those three program areas, right, once again, you know, the funding is distributed on a per capita basis. So as you see, the Greater Vancouver Regional Fund represents 49% of the funding envelope. That's really based on the fact that the GVRD represents 49% of the population. Community Works Fund at 40% and Strategic Priorities Fund at 11%. Another way to look at this, and looking at the three funding streams, so for GVRD and member municipalities, 5% of their funding envelope is focused on Community Works Fund, 95% of it goes into the Greater Vancouver Regional Fund. Nothing goes into the Strategic Priorities Fund, they're not eligible for that program. All other local governments in the province, 75% Community Works Fund, so that means 75% is directly allocated to you as a local government, regional district, and your member municipalities. That's all based on a per capita. And then 25% is pooled, which goes to the Strategic Priorities Fund, which is an application-based program. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. So Community Works Fund, this is the direct allocation to local governments. So at this point in time, we have all local governments that have signed their contribution agreement under the Community Works Fund. You get two checks. So funding is delivered to you twice per year. Once again, it's allocation based and it's on a per capita formula. So the Community Works Fund is a program where you, as a local government, you make the decisions on where the priority projects are and how to spend that money. You've signed a contribution agreement. Really, under that contribution agreement, I mean, there's two key areas that you have to focus on. One is the funding is going to be spent on an eligible project, so an eligible project category, and two, that it's eligible costs that are incurred. Generally speaking, that's capital costs. So the Greater Vancouver Regional Fund, do we have anyone from the Greater Vancouver Regional District, Metro Vancouver here? So I can basically skip these slides. I'll quickly go over it. It's pooled funding and through agreement and captured within the framework agreement. This funding is focused on transit. So it's working with the TransLink and the Metro Board to determine transit-type projects in the greater Vancouver Regional District. So the Strategic Priorities Fund, this is another program that's available to you. This is application-based funding, and it's for all local governments outside of Metro Vancouver or the greater Vancouver Regional District. It supports investments in infrastructure that are large in scale, regional in impact, or innovative. So these three pieces are key. This actually becomes part of the evaluation criteria, so it's projects that are able to meet what is larger in scale, regional in impact, or innovative, stand a greater chance of being successful in this program. So UBCM, we're currently accepting applications. All local governments are eligible to apply for three projects, two projects of a capital nature, one for capacity building. The intake closes April 15th, 2015. Just going back, I guess I forgot to mention, so Strategic Priorities Fund, over the first five years, that's approximately $145 million for that funding envelope. The Greater Vancouver Regional Fund is $650 million, and the Community Works Fund is approximately $515 million. So for this program, we've got an intake, as I mentioned, that's open right now and accepting applications. We have not determined when the next intake will be. We're anticipating there will probably be three intakes, and we'll probably be looking at allocating the entire funding early opposed to late. So, I mean, there won't be an intake in year eight, as an example, for application. So we'll be looking at probably having intakes within the first, so we've got one in the first year, but probably within the first 5 and 6 years, we'll probably fully allocate. You have a question? No. So Strategic Priorities Fund. Yes. Yeah, so I'll just repeat the question. The question was, is this based on per capita? So it's not based on per capita. It's pooled funding, right? So it was identified that 25% of the funding envelope available to those local governments outside of GVRD would be set aside for this program. And it's an application-based program. There is no a maximum grant allowed. So if you have a $5 million water treatment project, you can apply for that under this program. It's evaluated based on the criteria established in the program, and that's where I talked about large in scale, regional in impact, and innovative. The program materials are available on our website, so you and specifically your staff should be looking at that as you're applying and developing those applications. So does that answer your question? It does? Okay. So national objectives. National objectives are, they're important to consider, particularly when you're developing a project and an application under the Strategic Priorities Fund. Also, I'm going to talk a little bit about reporting, important with that, but what's happened with the expansion of the project categories, we've expanded the national objectives as well. In the previous agreement, really a clean environment was the national objective. Now we're talking about productivity and economic growth, strong cities and communities. Earlier in the fall of 2014, staff and myself, we went to a national workshop. We were trying to get a little bit more clarity on what this meant. We didn't actually get much clarity on what productivity and economic growth or strong cities and communities means. But what that means to me is that, you know, we have an opportunity to define what it is. It means that when you are looking at your project, you can interpret that and identify how your project meets productivity and economic growth and or strong cities and communities. But an important thing to consider when you're looking at projects, proposing projects, or moving projects forward. So outcome reporting. Question? I'll take them. I think we're small enough. I'll just take them as we go. Sure.
You know, the objectives of productivity and economic growth, clean environment, strong cities and communities, and yet we're not going to be able to help our fire departments, which if you don't have a fire department, you don't have a strong community. And, you know, all of this would be okay if there was another tree to get a fire.
Mike, thanks. We heard loud and clear when we did our consultations around the province that was an issue clearly in rural areas that the most important piece of infrastructure in rural places is the fire truck. It's the single biggest capital expenditure that many EAs in particular will make. And so we brought that piece forward and advocated for that as well. It simply did not shake out of the national program. So not here to debate that with you. We did very much bring that forward and say rolling stock should be an eligible category. It was not ultimately. Yeah, that money tree. I don't know where that one is. But I hear your point. We heard it pretty loudly from electoral areas in particular.
Well, I'll answer part of that. Part of it, I don't think I have an answer. I don't think we have an answer for it. Certainly, the funding that you've already received falls under the agreement and under the terms of the agreement. So I don't think there'll be anyone forcing you to spend if you're saving money for a bigger project, provided it's still under the terms of the agreement. With respect to the longevity or the perpetuity of the agreement. You know, there's been some work certainly at the federal level to legislate this program. So that is still subject to probably Treasury Board and allocation. They have identified that in the first 5 years. I don't think we're really in a position to answer that uncertainty with how the gas industry is moving forward. You know, part of the revenues coming out of for the gas tax is actually based on consumption, right? So it's not extraction; it's a consumption based tax. So, you know, as long as we keep using it to some degree, you know, the program will continue. But you know, I don't think we're in a place to be able to, you know, make or understand how the federal government will make decisions with respect to that. Did you want it?
Yeah, we cannot control what the federal budget does, of course, and we can't make any commitments around that. The one thing I would say is that you have 192 odd local governments in BC that use and generally like gas tax. You go across the country and you're into the thousands in municipalities across the country, and there would be an awful lot of squawking from local communities if the gas tax. So it might not be first off the life raft if something had to be. But we have no certainty around that. They have gone as far as they can to legislate it. They have said it's legislated, but as Glenn has said, it's still subject to a Treasury Board kind of decision. So my sense is We've heard no rumblings around that at all. I appreciate the concern, so we would share them if that were to happen.
So just talking a little bit about outcomes reporting, probably something that won't necessarily be an issue or a concern for you, actually becomes a significant concern for us as the administrator of the program, recognizing that the federal government is requiring and relying on our reporting. So they require, or we're required to report in order to receive the funding. And so it becomes a very significant part of our work, and therefore becomes a very significant part of how we work with you as local governments. We've developed a great relationship with you and your staff with respect to reporting. BC is actually considered one of the top provinces with respect to reporting. We just want to ensure that we continue that. So with respect to reporting, there's major reporting in 2018 and 2023, so that's outcome reporting. We'll be providing additional information in the months to come on what that'll look like. Annual reporting is really focused on really the fiscal bottom line, so how the money's been spent, so how much money's been spent and on what types of projects, and that's an annual reporting piece. We're actually doing some work internally. What happened this summer is the federal government and their database and their reporting structure, they basically just pulled the plug on it and let us know that we have to develop our own. So we're in the process of doing that, trying to make it as seamless as possible, and annual reporting will be ready to go this spring. I wanted to talk a little bit about asset management. As I mentioned before, asset management has now become part of the gas tax. It's identified as a priority. So asset management will be part of the reporting. It's identified within the agreement that local governments will have a commitment to move forward with asset management. What we've done, we've structured it in such a way that it's not going to be prescriptive. You won't be told what to do. You'll basically identify, and it's sort of set up in three steps. Identify where you're at as a local government with respect to asset management, so your asset management planning and your capacity as an organization, and then self-identify a path forward to improve asset management over the life of the agreement, and that's once again self-directed, and then report on that over the life of the agreement. Particularly in 2018 and 2023 are going to be the sort of the reporting requirements with that. Sure.
Just remind me that the asset management was also eligible for strategic initiatives funding
and second part of the question. Yes. So asset management is eligible under capacity building, so therefore there's an opportunity to use your community works fund, so that the direct allocation part of that can be used to support asset management, as well on the application-based funding, so the strategic priorities fund, where you apply, you can actually apply for a single capacity building project, and that could be asset management planning as well. So maintenance, no. So general maintenance?
No.
Yes. 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 So as part of a component part of asset management, yes. So transition, not probably a very important piece for you, but I just thought I'd put it up here. The transition between the two agreements. If there was unspent funds under the old agreement, basically what it allows you to do is those unspent funds actually are captured in your new agreement, and therefore you're allowed to expand the project categories. Probably not a big issue for you at this point in time. And interest, just another point I thought I'd identify. The funding comes from the federal government. It comes to UBCM. We have a bank account where it sits, and then we reallocate it to local governments through the three program streams. Over the life of the original agreement, interest has been earned. That interest roughly is about $8 million. What we're doing with that $8 million is over the next 2 years, we're just infusing it back in the program, and it'll be based on the agreement. So the allocations into the program are based on the agreement. So a portion will go to Community Works Fund, a portion to Strategic Priorities Fund, and a portion to the Greater Vancouver Regional Fund. And that's going to be our approach with interest generated throughout the program. So that's it for the gas tax fund. I'm going to move on and talk a little bit about local government program services. There are small programs that are run by UBCM and UBCM staff. So since 2001 is really when UBCM got into the program delivery business. And since then, we've been involved, I think, in about 15 different programs that we've delivered and administered in partnership with the provincial government and or the federal government. They're generally smaller programs. So currently, we're really managing or administrating four programs. The fifth one there is structural protection units. They're linked with the Strategic Wildfire Prevention Initiative. It's not really a program. They're actually an asset that UBCM owns. We did it back in 2004 after the wildfire season of 2003. They're actually trailer units that go and fight interface fires. It's basically a sprinkler system, and these systems are actually capable of protecting up to 30 to 35 properties in an interface fire situation. We own the asset. They're actually managed by the wildfire branch of the province. So getting into the programs that we're delivering right now. So asset management planning program. This program is about a $1.5 million program. Well, it's not about a $1.5 million program. It is a $1.5 million program. We're currently taking applications right now. It can support, asset management initiatives that are required under the gas tax program. Launched in December, it's a $10,000 grant program looking at matching funding, so a 50-50 split. The local government 50% can be in kind. It can actually be Community Works Fund or any alternative source of funding to match the 50-50. So looking at a maximum of a $20,000 project where $10,000 will come from this grant program, the other 10 will come from your own community sources. Application deadline is March 20th. Another program, the Regional Community Forums, C2C program. This is a federal and provincial program. It's a small program. It's about $100,000 allocated notionally per year. It's been a very successful program. Really what it's focused on is building and creating relationships between local government and First Nations. Launched in 2001, so it's been around for a while. So a small program, $5,000. Once again, matching contributions, but that contribution from the local government can be in kind. So we are expecting, and we do have funding. So the next intake will be in the spring of 2015. Senior housing and supportive initiative. So age friendly. Once again, another long-standing program that we've administered in partnership with the province. It's focused on age-friendly, so planning and infrastructure. $20,000 maximum contribution under the program. Once again, 50-50 cost shared, and that 50% can come from a number of different sources. So the next intake, and there is funding available in this program, will be in the fall of 2015. Strategic Wildfire Prevention Initiative. This program, I mentioned before, started after the 2003 wildfire season. It's been a highly successful program over the years. It's about $62 million in total funding has gone out to local governments. Four program streams. Currently, we only have one program stream active, and that's the plan program. So that's Community Wildfire Protection Plans. We've been talking with the province. They're hopeful that there'll be an additional infusion of funding. Generally speaking, these programs, it's the provincial fiscal year end where these programs sort of are identified and the funding comes over to us. So we're waiting in probably February, March for a decision from the province whether this program will continue. We do have an intake that closes at the end of this month. And like I said before, that's for community wildfire protection plans only.
Get a question over there.
Oh, sorry. On the wildfire, I believe the plans are $25,000. Yeah, I think for the planning it's $25,000, and like I said, that's the only stream that's available. It's for the prescription component, which is not open right now. I believe it was $400,000 for actually going forward with the plans and doing the prescriptions. But for the planning component, I believe it's $25,000. All these programs, the program guides, application forms are available on the UBCM website. So my last slide here actually identifies where the website and the information is available. As I mentioned before, it's a small program area for UBCM. We have 1.5 FTEs, so 1.5 staff working on this. They are a resource for you and or your staff or if you're interested in any of these programs. So that's it for the programs that UBCM is responsible for, the administration. I want to talk a little bit about the New Building Canada Plan and specifically the New Building Canada Fund. So this graphic sort of shows the entire envelope of federal funding that's available right now. In the red, you'll see the gas tax fund, $2.1 billion. That's nationally. As I mentioned before, that's legislated funding. That program is administered by UBCM, not the province. Building Canada Fund in blue. Excuse me, I'm going to talk about the provincial territory infrastructure component. Before I do that, just briefly on the P3 Canada Fund. It is a program available. P3s are not for the faint of heart. I've been involved in a number of them. But there is a role for P3s, I guess the word of caution is to make sure you understand the public-private partnership, how it works, and whether it's the right thing for your community and the right thing for the project that you may be thinking of. I'd say it probably isn't for most, but it does have a role. Interesting enough, before I left the province, I was talking with P3 Canada. They have a pot of money. They're actually struggling to spend it. So they're actually looking to find projects to support. There is information available. I think the P3 Canada themselves, within BC, it's Partnerships BC. They have a lot of information and experience about P3. They're somewhat biased in their approach. They believe P3 is going to save the world, but you can get information from them. Another source is the Ministry of Community, Sport and Cultural Development. I've got a contact in a later slide, but in their local government division, infrastructure and engineering, they've got a lot of information on P3s as well. So getting into the provincial territory infrastructure component, I'm going to talk briefly about the Small Communities Fund. So approximately $109 million. It's a cost-share formula of one-third, one-third, one-third. That's sort of a standard federal-provincial program funding allocation. It's a 10-year program. It's available to communities that are $100,000 or less. Right now, they do have an active intake. They have one application per local government, so that's per municipality. For regional districts, they actually define it's one application per community area. So that could be an unincorporated area or established or proposed to be established service area, which really means regional districts are allowed to apply for more than one, right? So they're allowed to apply for projects specifically within a service area. You can apply for two applications can go forward within the same service area. The province is anticipating that approximately 50% of the funding under this envelope will be allocated in the first intake. So there will be a following intake. What we're hoping is that we'll be able to work with the province and with the next strategic priorities fund under the gas tax to ensure that we sort of align intakes in these two programs to ensure that they're set up to support local governments the best way we can. Right now we have overlapping intakes and it's somewhat challenging to manage that. So a couple of things that are new within the new Building Canada Fund. Eligible applicants, they're local governments. They've also identified First Nations as an eligible applicant. Provincial entities and or public sector bodies are now eligible, as well as private sector bodies. Private sector bodies can be for-profit and or non-for-profit organizations.
You have a question from Director Booth.
Yes.
Thank you. So under the private sector body category, is there any conditions attached to applying for that?
There are some. And I'm at a loss for all of them. But as an example, for a transportation project that's a provincially owned asset, I think the maximum funding is 50%. I don't have all the answers for you. I do have a contact in the Ministry of Community Sport and Cultural Development and identifying where the program guides are. So that's probably your best bet to get the right answer.
Another question on the far table.
Yes. Well, and there has been discussion and moving forward with the negotiations, which were somewhat fragmented with the federal government with this. That piece was identified. It was identified by a number of different jurisdictions. That was a concern. Once again, it didn't really have a lot of traction with the federal government. Historically, the province, if you look at like the recent past, the province has recognized that as an issue and developed some of their own programs to gap that. Towns for Tomorrow is an example. Right now, you're not going to like the news on this slide because it actually gets worse instead of better at the federal level. It has been identified and it was part of the negotiating mandate for a number of provinces, including BC, to look at that. It just didn't get any traction at the federal level. Sorry, was there another question back there? No?
Just if I could follow up on your question, the first question. I mean, we hear that a lot. In particular, the one-third share is a real profound issue. And under the previous program, you were able to use a portion of your gas tax for your one-third share. And that's what Glenn is pointing out has been changed under the new Building Canada program, has been changing the stacking rules that eliminate that option in part. So we're concerned that it's not in the way that the concern you're raising, it's actually going the other way in this instance in terms of their rules.
So quickly going through this slide, talking about eligible project categories, similar to gas tax, but there is no recreation, sport, tourism, culture, or capacity building within the Small Communities Fund. You know, really not wanting to talk about my next bullet after the comments, recognizing, you know, I'm a messenger here. But as Gary mentioned, the stacking rules have changed, and so the federal government has identified within the new Building Canada Fund that one-third is the maximum contribution for federal funding, and so there you can't use Community Works Fund to bump it up to 50%. UBCM's role in this program, somewhat minor, but we have an observation role on the Oversight Committee. The Oversight Committee is the decision-making body within this program and within the agreement. So UBCM has a role in observing what's going on and the decisions being made in the process and ensuring that they're following the process. I'm going to Gary and President Sav Dhaliwal are the representatives on that for UBCM. I'm assuming I get to tag along, which will be very interesting for me as someone has spent the last 15 years dealing with it from the provincial side. I'm going to take great joy in participating in this. So the new Building Canada Fund, Small Communities Fund, it is administered by the province. I won't get into how they break up responsibilities, but it's Ministry of Community, Sport and Cultural Development and the Ministry of Transportation and Infrastructure. They actually split their responsibilities through project categories. This is the website where program guide application information is available. I put Laird McLaughlin's name as a contact. He's the lead for the Ministry of Community, Sport and Cultural Development. He's actually spent 5 years working in the Ministry of Transportation and Infrastructure branch. He's familiar with both sides. He's a pretty good contact for you for this program. I wanted to talk, see if I got time. I am running out of time. That's it for my slides, but I was just going to go back and briefly talk about provincial territory infrastructure component. As it's identified, $10 billion nationally, $9 billion for funding national and regional projects. For BC, that represents $1.1 billion, so that's BC's notional allocation for the funding national and regional projects. UBCM, we've been trying to get information out of the province and the federal government with respect to this. This program is very well, or not very well identified. There is no application process. And so, you know, we're trying to get an understanding of where the opportunities for local government to access this funding. You know, our big concern with this program is that it's actually run through the Ministry of Transportation and Infrastructure, so provincial decisions. You know, our concern is that provincial governments making the decisions. They've got a lot of highways and bridges to build, and our concern is the majority of this funding will go to provincial assets, and we're looking at opportunities on how local governments may access this funding. At this point in time, we've not got any clear answer from them. Some local governments have gone and talked to the provincial government and the federal government on their own, but at this point in time, there is no sort of application process. So it remains a concern for us, and it remains an area that we're continuing to work with the province and the federal government.
Any additional questions for Glenn before we wrap up? No? Oh, this gentleman over here. You want to repeat the question?
Yeah. So it was a question about broadband and connectivity as an eligible project category, and understanding that generally it's a service not provided by local governments, it's a service provided by a third party, and how that works, and has there been success in the past. So if we look historically with the federal provincial programs that have had broadband and connectivity eligible, there has not been a lot of uptake on that. And that's really focused more on the eligible applicant and some of the criteria under those programs. Gas tax is somewhat different. So there is an opportunity for you to apply. There's no requirement for you to own and operate the infrastructure under gas tax. So, yes, you have to be taking money that's coming, whether it's Community Works Fund funding or application based under their Strategic Priorities Fund, you can determine that's a priority. And, for instance, use Community Works Fund and direct it directly to a third-party service provider for infrastructure that isn't owned by you. So it does become an opportunity for you to fund that type of a project. In the past programs, it hasn't. But under this one, under the gas tax, you know, there is an opportunity to do that.
I don't think we can point to an example of it because it wasn't in the last gas tax round, so it's fairly new. There may be some examples that the province have run their own funding program with respect to engaging third-party providers to build out, and so there may be some best practices. What's the agency and government that we...
So Network BC?
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's correct.
They, in terms of successful partnerships, I know that when we've met with them, they've talked about successful partnerships through third-party providers as opposed to the local government.
And we do know that they're anticipating having some form of a program to focus on rural connectivity in the future. And that is in alignment with what the Premier identified at the UBCM convention in the fall.
So with that, I'd like to thank you very much, number one, for all your questions and your feedback today. And I'd also like to thank Glenn for his presentation this morning. We're back in this room in 5 minutes' time for an overview of the day. So thanks very much.